And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is my joy to conclude our study of Islamophobia, fact or fiction in this broadcast. And I believe it was an awesome time to spend with you. And I hope and I pray that this study was an opening for your eyes, maybe put a true glasses to read and understand Islam, not from my perspective or somebody else's perspective, but from the perspective of Allah, the God of Islam, the devil of the Bible, or Muhammad, the self-proclaimed prophet of Islam. Today I'm going to share with you what happened when people expose the problem of Islam in England. And if we do not learn from England, that's exactly what will happen in your town here in America. So I'm going to watch with you a couple videos. I hope and I pray in the end of it, this will wake you up that you don't care about what they call you, as long as the truth to be told. First, let's watch this video together.
Now, another town this week joined the list of shame where sex gangs have roamed seemingly unchecked to prey on girls as young as 11, raping, drugging, beating, trafficking, and potentially even murdering them in the process. What's happened in Telford could be the worst case of a paedophile gang involved in widespread child abuse the country has ever seen. But as I read the names of those convicted, something struck me. In Telford, they included Azir Ali Mehmood, Mubarak Ali, and Adel Ali. In a similar case in Rotherham, Razwan Razag, Adil Hussein, and Zafran Ramzan were among the guilty. To Rochdale now, Mohammed Amin, Abdul Aziz, and Mohammed Sajid, among others, were convicted. And now to Oxford, where it was Anjan Dogar, Kamir Jamil, and Zishan Ahmed, ending up behind bars. Now, a very broad reckoning of the guilty shows around 80% are men of Pakistani and Bangladeshi origin. Well, a couple of observations then. Why do they appear to view white girls as objects to be traded and even disposed of? And what is their community doing about it?
Nick, this is a tragedy that's been going on up and down the country, and unfortunately, police and local councils have been complicit in covering up this scandal.
Was it?
Time and time again, they have found that British, Pakistani, and Bangladeshi South Asian Muslim men like me have been involved in grooming underage white girls and targeting them in what I would describe as racially motivated sexual assault. And for fear of racism, the local politicians for fear of losing votes, and the police for fear of being sacked by those local politicians, have been hiding this situation. And of course, then it led to a national inquiry. We know that because the conclusions of the national inquiry were the same. I'm going to read to you something, because Telford could well be worse than what happened in Rotherham and Rochdale. And yet still, despite that, we have the superintendent for Telford and Wrekin, Tom Harding, saying the following. He said that what I would say is sexual offending across Telford and Wrekin is virtually identically proportionate to the breakdown of society, so it's not one particular section over others. Forgive the language, the French, but this is total BS, because it's confusing two types of sexual offences. We as Quilly have looked into this, and I'm going to come to the stats in a second.
I know you've done a lot of work, you've done a lot of broadcasting. You're a real pillar in this area. I will say salute what you've done.
Thank you. Type one is the grooming of underage white girls, or any girl generally is type one as a category, the grooming of underage girls by gangs of men. Now, in type one, where the grooming gangs are involved, it was found in our research that we found, and we put this up on the screen for you, that 84% of those involved in type one, which is gang grooming of underage girls, were, what it says there, South Asian. To be specific, they were Pakistani and Bangladeshi Muslims, right? Type two, which is, I hate to use the phrase, ordinary paedophilia, what we normally understand by the word paedophilia, is representative of wider society. So one statistic found it was about 87% in type two, which is paedophiles, 87% were white. Another found 100% were white. But of course, that's not surprising because the vast majority of the country is white. What's interesting is the disproportionate figure of 84% hailing from my background. Why that's interesting is because roughly only 2% of the country are Pakistani and Bangladeshi Muslim men who are responsible for 84% of collective grooming of underage white girls.
And who is this gentleman, my dear friends? His name is Majid Nawaz. He's not a Christian. He's not a Jew. He's a Muslim. But he called himself a reformer, a moderate Muslim. A group does not exist in reality. Now he said, and I will quote for he said, this is RMCSI is a racial motivation sexual assault. That's what he said. What's happening in England have nothing to do with Islam. It has something to do with racial. You know, the Pakistani guys like white girls. And he told us that 84% of the child rape in England were acted by, or we can say 2% of the Muslim Pakistani and Bangladeshi are responsible for 84% of that child rape. I'm sorry, this has nothing to do with Rachel. The racial has nothing to do with that. And the proof is, we can go around the world, we cannot find this, but by the Muslims. And in Islam, there are all kinds of people all over the world. If you go to some of the Russian country where they're white, they do the same thing to the non-Muslim in Russia. And as a matter of fact, they will do this anywhere they go. As Muslims do violence to all people on the earth, including other Muslims, so it is that sexual assault. And this has nothing to do with anything but Islam. And that is a problem between the difference between Majid Nawaz and me. Majid Nawaz will put it on culture. I put it on Islam. He have no proof of his talk. I have enough of evidence to prove that what I'm telling you is the truth. Now, where that problem started? It started with the noble example of Islam, the Prophet of Islam, Muhammad himself. And here is what we learned from Aisha, Muhammad's favorite wife. She said,
Aisha said,
so in simple words, Muhammad was a child molester. That what he was. This has nothing to do with race or anything. This has nothing to do with Islam. And he is a noble example whom Allah set for all Muslims to follow. Now, when Majid Nawaz said that, the SPLC, Southern Poverty Law Center, sued him. They called him Islamophobe. He hired a lawyer. He won the case against him. They wrote him a letter of apology. You can go online and see it. And he actually made, I believe, $3 million. So he won the case against the SBLC. Now, here's the truth. The Quran, not only the saying of Muhammad, or the son of Muhammad lived with Aisha, the 6-year-old wife, when he was 51 years old, and he was involved with her sexually when she was 9 and he was 54, the Quran itself teaches Muslims to do that. Quran chapter 65, verse 4. Listen to that verse.
And for those of your women who despair of menstruation, if you doubt that they may be pregnant, their prescribed waiting time is 3 months, as well as for those who have not yet begun menstruation.
Let me give you a quick answer for that verse. If a Muslim man divorces his wife and she is in her late 40s or 50s, and obviously she's not pregnant, but if he's doubting in his mind, maybe she's pregnant, she cannot be married to another husband for 3 months in case she's pregnant, as well as the little children who have not yet begun menstruation. If a Muslim man divorces his little child wife who did not have her first period yet, if he divorces her, she cannot be abused by another husband unless 3 months goes by in case she's pregnant. This is not my opinion. That's what Al-Tabari said. Al-Sighar, the little children. These are what Muhammad or Allah is talking about in Quran chapter 65 and verse 4. Now, listen to what we read in the book of the Reliance of the Traveler, M6.7. In point number 5, we read, in Islam, the Sharia teach Muslim can marry a Jew, Muslim can marry a Christian, Muslim can marry a Muslim, but a Christian man or a Jewish man cannot marry a Muslim lady. So the relationship, in the marriage relationship between Muslims and Christians, between Muslims and Jews, it's not a love relationship. Because if it is, if a Muslim imam can marry a Christian lady, a Christian minister can marry a Muslim lady. No, you can't. It is invasion. It is invasion in a peaceful, loving way. They can marry our daughters. Our men cannot marry their daughters because obviously children follow the religion of the father, not the mother in Islam. Let's talk about the teaching of the Quran concerning marriage for fun. What is marriage for fun? Here it is. Listen to the word of Allah. Quran chapter 4 and verse 24.
And married women are also forbidden, except all that your right hand possesses. This is the decree of Allah for you, and it is lawful to you, besides this, to seek out women with your money, chaste without fornication. So whatever you enjoy by it from them, so give them their wages. It is an ordinance. And there will be no sin on you about what you have mutually agreed on after the ordinance. Surely Allah was knowing wise.
When we talk in America about the marriage for fun, in English language, in American culture, prostitution, the Muslim immediately jump on us. Oh, you're Islamophobe. You are lying. You're not telling the truth. No, this is the word of Allah, Quran 4:24. A Muslim man does not have to marry a woman to marry them. What do you mean? Do not have to marry more women to be involved with them sexually. Ooh. You can be involved sexually as a Muslim man with married women if they are your right-hand possession. And that's exactly what's happening all over Europe. European lady get captured by Muslim men and she rapes him. And in Islam, it's fair and square. It's marriage for fun. He will have good time with her for half hour or a day and throw her out in the garbage in the street outside again. Okay, that is marriage in Islam. Whatever you enjoy, buy it from them, so give them their wages. You pay for it. Prostitution. Welcome to Islam. Not like what Muslims teach our children in America, in our public schools. Marriage in Islam is a holy union. You cannot have sexual relationship without marriage. That's propaganda, not baloney Islam. In Islam, you can do that. And as long as you pay for them, even Muhammad said with a handful of date. You know, we eat dates, a fruit. A handful of date is worth what? 5 cents, 10 cents? You can have sexual relationship with a woman. Worse, you pay for it with a handful of date. This is the reality of Islam. You can be involved with them sexually, even if they're married, or just give them a little bit wage prostitution. Okay? Let's move on to the reality of what's happening in Europe, what's happening in Sweden, for example. We learn here.
According to the Canada Free Press, Sweden has the second highest Muslim immigration rate in Europe and the second highest sexual assault rate in Europe.
What is the connection between having lots of Muslims and sexual assault? The more Muslim you have in your country, the more sexual assault you have in your country. But that's not what the Canadian Free Press would tell you. They would try to swing it, twist it, to make it sound something different, like when we hear here.
1 in 5 women in the UK will be sexually assaulted.
Why?
According to the Canada Free Press.
Why? Why women in England will be assaulted 1 out of 5, 20%? Why? Well, they will tell us here in a minute. Here we go. Let's go to the next one. It says,
the Canada Free Press went on to say, the statistics suggest that the key factor is not necessarily a high Muslim population, but a high Muslim immigrant population.
Oh, the problem is not how many Muslims live there. The problem is there. Quick, big number of immigrants. Maybe if we do it different, instead of you bring 100,000 Muslims every month, bring them in 2 months or 3 months, spread them around so they can acclimate, they can fit with our society, so they can assimilate with us. This is hogwash talk. They just don't have the guts to tell the people the truth. More Muslim men in your community, it means more child rape, it means more Muslim women rape. It's Islam. In Islam, it is lawful. I read to you the word of Allah in the Quran. It is lawful for Muslim men to be involved sexually with married women. After all, they're infidels. They're infidels' wives. It's okay for Muslim men to be involved with little girls. After all, Muhammad, the noble example, did it. As long as there are infidels' daughters. If Muhammad did it to his own beloved friend Abu Bakr's daughter, Muslim would not do it to your daughters? To your neighbor's daughters? Huh. Let's move on.
The more open a European country is to Muslim mass migration, the more dangerous it is to women.
This is the reality. Even the Canadian Free Press will not say it openly. Having more Muslims in America is going to be a great problem in the near future to your own wives and to your own daughters here in America. We saw this in Europe. We see it in Canada, and it's coming to America. And if you don't have the guts to speak it out loud, I do not know what to tell you. Seeing Muslim ladies in hijab like that, This is, to me, is abuse to the Muslim ladies.
Omar wears a hijab, which according to the Quran 33:59 tells women to cover so they won't get molested. Is her adherence to this Islamic doctrine indicative of her adherence to Sharia law, which in itself is antithetical to the United States Constitution?
This is Judge Jeanine. And when she opened her lips and told the truth about Ilhan Omar, Representative Ilhan Omar, well, guess what? She was moved from the Fox News air for 2 weeks because she said the truth. The abuse which Islam put on every Muslim female for hijab. This is a practice of Sharia. And it is right now in the Congress of the United States of America. And tomorrow it will be everywhere in America. It will be in every city in America. He maybe do not know why Muslims wear hijab. Well, guess what? Here's the verse of the Quran, which, by the way, Judge Jeanine talked about. She was not lying to be punished for 2 weeks off air. It was the truth, the word of Allah in Quran, 33:59.
O you prophet, say to your wives and to your daughters and the women of the believers, let down their covering over them, that in this way they will be known, so they will not be harmed. And Allah was forgiving, merciful.
The cover of the hijab for Muslim lady, according to the word of Allah in the Quran, according to the Muslim scholars' interpretation, is to protect them for not being raped. You may think I'm making this up. No, I'm not. Let me read to you the scholars' interpretation. Here we go. Start with Ibn Abbas, the first cousin of Muhammad.
Ibn Abbas said, Allah orders the women of the believers, if they go out of their homes for some needs, that they must cover their faces from above their heads, with dresses by showing one eye.
Which eye, do you wonder? The right eye or the left eye? Well, guess what? Muhammad ibn Sirin answers that question. Here we go.
Muhammad, son of Sirin, asked Ubaidah al-Samani concerning the saying of Allah, let down their covering over them. So he covers his head and shows his left eye.
Yes, indeed, because the left eye is the weakest eye, and that is the one which Muslims have to look through. And believe it or not, here we go, the real reason why Muslim believers, the ladies, were ordered to cover themselves with hijab.
In the Al-Sani interpretation for this verse, he said, some of the wicked people of the city of Medina come out at night when it gets dark in the roads, and they harass the females. The roads of the city of Medina were narrow, so when the night comes, women go on the road that they may go to relieve themselves. So these wicked people molest them. So if they saw the women have the head covering, they said, she is a free woman. So they left her alone. And if they saw that she was not wearing the head covering, they said, this is a slave. So they sexually assault her.
Women in Medina, the first holy city for the Muslims, were raped by the Muslim men. And if they are covered in hijab, they know they are free Muslim women. They cannot touch them. But the slaves were free, fair games. You can touch them, you can molest them, do whatever they do to them. And when the slaves did that to protect themselves from the assault, from the sexual assault, well, guess what Omar did? The Khalifa, the successor of Muhammad, he was so happy, he was so proud of all the slaves who covered themselves in hijab so they will not be molested by the men. No, 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 no. That's not exactly what happened. Listen carefully to the following statement. Omar protects the free Muslim woman that she will not be assaulted sexually, raped, but he will not allow the slaves, the Muslim slaves, to be covered in hijab. So he makes a difference between slaves and free. It's okay for the men of Medina to assault the slaves sexually, but it's not okay to assault the free women. This is the reality about the hijab. My friend, this is the reality of how Islam is. It's okay to assault the slaves. It's okay to assault the infidels. It's okay to assault anybody who's not a Muslim sexually. That is what we see in United Kingdom. That is what we see in Europe and Canada and coming sooner in America. Now, I'm going to change from the sexual assault and the savage teaching of Islam about it to go to the cutting of the hand of the thief. Anything we talk about in this broadcast or the future broadcast, it will be called by the Muslim in America, Islamophobic teaching is not true. Here is the truth about cutting the hand of the thief. Quran 5:38.
And the male thief and the female thief, so cut off their hands a reward of what they earned as a punishment from Allah, and Allah is dear wise.
How in the world you can tell me I misunderstand that verse? Or I am lying to you about that verse when Allah said, cut the hand of the thieves. Let me give you the interpretation of that verse so you know I'm not making that up. Start by Abu Huraira. Let me ask a question, my dear friends. Why a thief will steal an egg? Maybe because he's hungry and he wants to eat it. And Allah, Apostle Muhammad said, you cut his hand. So that is, 10 cents an egg? 15 cents an egg? If you steal an egg, you lose your hand. Let's continue with what else, according to different beliefs on different Muslim theologian, what is the amount you can steal to lose your hand? Three dirham. You steal three dirham, we cut off your hand. This is not Islamophobic. That is Islam a fact. That is the reality of what Islam teach about the cutting of the hand of the thief. And that is Sharia. That is Islamic law. Let's see a Shafi'i. What a Shafi'i said, the punishment for the thief. How much do you steal to lose your hand?
Al-Shafi, Allah's mercy be on him, stated the cutting off of the hand of the thief with a quarter of dinar, or what is equal to it in value.
A quarter of a dinar, you lose your hand. Is this justice? Is this something you would love to see here in America for your children and your grandchildren as Muslims continue to grow in America, taking over the Democrat Party and running this country by Sharia? That is the reality of Islam. Now, this is the last video I want you to watch carefully. The reality of what is happening in England, because people in England did not listen to people like me for a good 30 or 40 years. What is going on in England today?
So that's where England's at. We now have all of these towns and major cities that are completely taken over by a densely packed Muslim population who control housing. We have a Muslim housing association in London, so we cannot access that housing. There's a Muslim police association in London. It's not one like you have, but you have the pretend Muslim police, don't you? You have the pretend NYPD guard. Ours is real, the Muslim police association. Before you know it, you have this dual policing system that starts off, and that's not a good thing to witness. So I'll give you one example. In a place called Glasgow, it is a rough end of Glasgow. There's a densely packed Muslim population. It's the middle of the day, 4 o'clock. And out onto the street comes a woman. She's all aflame. She's all lit up. And she's screaming, help me. Help me. And the guy hears her and he runs out. He's in a garage where he's working. He manages to find water. She's on the grass now, laid down. And he manages to throw water on her and puts her out. And I have pictures still of the grass where they picked her up and put her in the ambulance, all black and burnt. That part of Glasgow is under Sharia. It's under Muslim policing. They did a statement. The police said there were no suspicious circumstances. And the local mosque, despite the fact there was no other comment to be made by the police, the mosque said it was one of our sisters. It was not a hate crime, so people don't need to be concerned. But a good Muslim doesn't gossip about what happens to a sister. Now, when you start with that kind of policing happening, then all of your faith in your country is very easily diluted. The reason 2,000 of our young white girls were raped in one town alone, Rotherham, was because when the girls went to the police didn't want to be called Islamophobic. When the girls told the social workers, they didn't want to be called racist. The girls were pushed away, turned away. No, you must be wrong. Some of them were from care homes, so they just weren't believed. And in the end, 2,000 girls were raped by gangs of majority Pakistani Muslim men. I was referred to the police. I was investigated for calling these rape squads majority Pakistani Muslim rape squads, and it wasn't looking too good for me until statistics came out on it, and it was revealed that they were actually majority Pakistani Muslim rape squads. So I'll take that one. But this is where the police come in. The police are now a legitimate arm of the government silencing machine. There is a hate crime unit that Sadiq Khan has set up to police Twitter, specifically my Twitter. And I have been arrested and interviewed under caution by the Major Crime and Homicide Command, two men in a cell with a tape recorder, for a column I wrote in the newspaper about migrants, because it was seen as hate speech. Luckily, that wasn't referred, and I got away with that. But they are cracking down fast. My children are referred to social services. So people that are against me or want to shut me up will ring social services about my children. So we've had them to the house 3-4 times, and I respect that. I'm glad, because if someone's in trouble, I want them to be found out. The only thing I wonder is, where were social services for those 2,000 girls in Rotherham when they needed some help? Why is it that it would be believable if it was something to do with me?
So the police in England will not get involved in these cases because they don't want to be called Islamophobic. The social worker in England do not want to get involved because they don't want to be called racist. And when that lady got involved and talked about the 2,000 young lady in one town in England who were raped by Muslim men, they call her work a hate speech. That's exactly what's coming to America. For me and people like me. The Muslim Association now is growing beyond your imagination. All different Muslim associations all over England, including the police association, real police, who control the Muslim community with Sharia. We talk about that, and Muslim and liberals in America laugh at us. You're making this up. You're Islamophobic. When the lady was burned, that was not a suspicious case. That was not a hate crime. But for people to speak about this violence and that savage work, burning females, Muslim females in England, that is a hate speech. And they harass that lady by getting the social service to examine her children. Maybe her children are crazy because their mama is going nuts, because their mama is a hate speaker. This is exactly what's coming to America. This is exactly what's coming to a city near you. It's time for us to wake up now. Not tomorrow, not next week, now. It's time for us to educate ourselves about Islam. It's time for us to speak out loud and don't care about what they're going to call you. What they're going to call you? Islamophobic? So what? You're a racist? So what? They are ignorant. They are stupid. And if we do not speak out right now, it will be too late for us forever. Islamophobia, my friend, Islamophobia is a rational fear. It is a real fear. It's the more we learn about Islam, reading the Quran, Allah's word, and Muhammad teaching in the Hadith, the more we learn about these books which I wrote for you, the more you will know it is a real fear. Islam is not an irrational fear. Islam is a real fear. And if we don't wake up and face the reality of how evil and savage Islam as a cult is, America will be destroyed like Europe. Right now, the European can escape and come to America. The Canadian can escape and come to America. The whole world can escape the savage cult of Islam and come to America. But if this takes place in America, for us, the Americans, where will we go? Do you think we'll go to the oceans or we'll go up to the moon? I hope and I pray that study opened your eyes to realize the reality that Islam is not a religion. Islam is not a faith. It is a savage cult. And we need to love the Muslim people, truly love them for Jesus, reach out to them with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why we have these small booklets. You need to get the straight way to eternal life. You need to get the violent truths about Islam. These are small books for you to give away. You need to get a copy of my books and read and educate yourself and educate others. And until we meet again in another study, I pray that the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.